All right, today's scripture reading, like Paul mentioned, is from Micah 6. And you can turn to the back page of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you, Matt. One other person I want to thank is this man walking right here, Jeff Wilson. He moved all this sound out, and he was here yesterday during his birthday day in the sanctuary. It was
I'm very old.
We're not going to say how old you are, Jeff. He just said he was very old. Very old now. But he was in the sanctuary yesterday without air conditioning, getting all this gear together. And so, Jeff, big, huge gratitude, thanks to you this morning for really a beautiful sounding. So does it sound good out there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Praise the Lord. And thank you, worship team, for that beautiful set of songs. We're going to go back to worship after this piece. But I just wanted to share about the scripture that Matt just read from Micah. The rest of the summer until Labor Day will be a series called Do Justice. And we're going to hear from speakers from Elam and friends of Elam on various topics and various activities that those people are doing that express the heart of justice and the heart of God to our city and to our neighborhoods and to our world. And so we're going to hear on everything from homelessness to education to race and reconciliation matters. And I'm really excited to invite folks like Leslie Smith is going to speak to us about their work with Hope Academy, and Carl Nelson on their work with race and reconciliation. Next week, Pastor Becky and Sue Watlam Phillips and myself will be up here, up in there, talking about homelessness and housing and how it is that Elam is getting involved with this issue. Can you imagine with me a city where there's no homelessness? Can you imagine? I think sometimes we kind of set our aims too low. We just kind of want to put band-aids on problems. But what Sue and others and Pastor Becky and myself and many of you are imagining is a world without homelessness, a world without these things, where people have to sleep on a 10 below degree street at night, or sleep under a bridge, or sleep next to the river. We know those things are complex and they're complicated. You all are so far away. But I love you anyways. I feel like we're so far. I can come out a little farther, Jeff. All right, here I come. Here I come. Whoop. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right, there we go. That's better. So we're going to explore what it means for Elam to do justice in our day. And I get this phrase, and you can see it on the front of the bulletin. What does love look like in public? Justice is rooted in the character and person of God, who is love. God is love and God is holy. And therefore, any action that God takes in regards to justice is love. God is love. God is holy. And any action that God takes in regards to justice, of doing right and wrong, has to do with his love. And most often, God's justice, God's love, doesn't look like human love and human justice. So our Bible is the source for that inspiration and that source of what justice is and what love is. Because in the Bible is a testimony of God's actions throughout history in regards to God's people and the nations. Very simply, justice, doing justice means loving our neighbor as ourselves. And this is what we're going to explore over the next 4 or 5 weeks. The standard of that measure of justice is Jesus himself, who said, "No greater love than this, than a person lay down their life for their friends." Now, it just happened to be that most of Jesus' friends were poor. Many of them were outcasts. They were outsiders. They were marginalized by the greater society. And the ones Jesus, of course, went to the cross for is all of us. Our scripture today comes from the minor prophetic book of Micah. Micah was from a small town called Moresheth. He ministered during the time of Isaiah, which I mentioned, who we read earlier. He ministered in a time where Israel actually had a great amount of economic boost. They had come into this time of prosperity. And what Isaiah called the people to, and what Micah was calling the people to, was to be aware of how they were treating one another. Israel had become very wealthy, and this new merchant class had arisen. And that merchant class had become taking advantage of the farmer, been taking advantage of the poor, of taking advantage of the worker. Micah saw this oppression. He likely witnessed it firsthand, being from a small town. He saw little or no remorse on anyone's faces about the mistreatment of the people by the leaders of Israel. And the leaders of Israel, these kings, Jotham and Ahaz especially, were cruel. And they were mean. And they took more than what they should have from the people. Micah saw these experiences and became very upset, very angry, and righteously so. He witnessed the rise of Assyria, that fierce people in the north. And he saw the coming destruction and invasion of Israel. And he saw this as a judgment upon the leaders, especially of Israel, for their bad behavior. And our verse today, to walk humbly, to do justice, love mercy, is a very often quoted verse. There's nice songs about it. We're going to sing a song here about it in a little bit. It's not a statement about human universal justice. It's a statement by a prophet to God's people about how God's people should act in the world. And therefore, it is right for us to consider this passage today as God's people. Here's what Micah says he's going to do based on what he's seen and the knowledge he has about how God feels about it. Here's what he says in Micah 1, verse 8. He said, "For this I will lament and wail. I will go barefoot and naked. I will make lamentation like the jackals and mourning like the ostriches. For her," that's Israel, "for Israel's wound is incurable. It has come to Judah," that's northern and south kingdoms. "It has reached to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem." So did you catch that? What's Micah going to do? He's going to take off his shoes, take off his clothes, run around, scream at the top of his lungs. I don't know if you've ever heard an ostrich cry. Anybody heard an ostrich cry? It sounds like a death shriek. And ostriches were often thought to be somewhat of a disadvantaged bird because they couldn't fly. And they were bound to the barren ground in which they stood. The jackals at night, maybe you've heard jackals. How many person has heard a jackal cry? These are loud, offensive sounding sounds. These are the most annoying sounds in the world, as Dumb and Dumber, the movie, put it. You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Just listen to a jackal. Just listen to an ostrich. So get out of your head that Micah is some kind of loving, nice guy like me. He's not a pastor type. He is not. He's a wild man. He makes John the Baptist look like Mr. Rogers. Okay, this scripture, though, is for us. It's for us. Micah wanted the people to wake up. Said, "You're offering sacrifices all day long, yet you oppress the worker. You oppress the farmer. You take advantage of those doing the hard jobs. And you yourself extract inordinate taxes. And you're all guilty," Hosea would say, and Micah would say, and Isaiah would say. Abraham Heschel wrote a famous book called The Prophets, and in it, he said these things about prophets. He said, prophets spoke and made sweeping allegations. We all love those, right? We love it when somebody makes a sweeping allegation. Prophets often said that the few are guilty, but all are responsible. Heschel called the prophet like Micah a blast from heaven who spoke one octave too high. So if I'm speaking this way, prophets spoke up another register altogether. They speak too loud. They make sweeping allegations. They say few are guilty, but all are responsible. They hold everyone responsible. But yet the prophet was lonely. They had incredible misery in their lives often. But they spoke with explosive and luminous words, Heschel says. They spoke from experience and with authority and austerity. They seem to focus on what we think are the most trivial things. Jeremiah at one point says, hey, you know those beads on your wrist? They're an abomination to the Lord. You know those cakes you make at Halloween? Those are abomination to the Lord. We say, whoa, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was getting at, and Micah was getting at, the heart of the people. The prophets were God's messengers. They carried in their personality and in their actions, Heschel says, the very pathos of God, the emotion of God. God's own emotions and feelings were coming out through the prophet's voice. So Micah went around barefoot and naked. He's screaming like a jackal, screaming like an ostrich. And he knew that Israel's wound, the injustice she had been doing, was incurable. That sure judgment was awaiting them. It's tough to talk about prophets. It's tough to deal with the things that they're saying because what they're saying is true. And we know that a prophet is true when what they says comes true, and Micah, what he said came true, and what Jeremiah said came true, and what Isaiah said came true. The subtitle to my sermon today is the question, what does love look like in public? And that question has no subtle implication. The question comes from an insight quoted by Dr. Cornel West, a former Princeton professor, and he's an outspoken Christian on issues of justice. He said this, quote, we have to recognize that there cannot be relationships unless there is commitment, unless there is loyalty, unless there is love, patience, persistence. And then he says this, and this was stuck with me when he said it. Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. What have the leaders of Israel forgotten to do? According to Micah, according to Hosea, they've forgotten to do justice. And what is justice? Loving their neighbors. Loving them, even their own people. Loving the nations. Loving others. They had forgotten how to act fairly amongst one another. In our scripture today, Micah, starting in verse 6 and 7, addresses some religious assumptions that he sees have actually led to injustice. Micah is saying it's your religion that has actually caused you to forget about treating people fairly and treating people with love and treating people with justice. He says, what can I bring to please God? Right? This is the initial question. What is it that I, as a human being, can do to please God? And that assumption is that all matters of religion and of religious quest have to do with me and my desire to find favor and peace with God. That it has to do only with me. Micah is addressing this bad assumption because, yes, it is true that we are alone before God. We are all accountable and responsible for our behavior. But no, God does not look at us as individuals only, but looks around us, looks to those whom we live with, those whom we are in community with. And what he sees in society, God looks to those places and then he brings judgment. God isn't just looking for that moment where we bring that perfect sacrifice. God is looking at the everyday. He's looking at our everyday movements, our everyday lives. Micah is addressing the myth that I can stay ritually pure, maybe on Sunday, and act totally different the other days. Assumption number two is that bigger is better. Micah begins with burnt offerings, then calves a year old. That's a pretty nice gift to God. Then thousands of rams. Then 10,000 rivers of oil. And then finally he gets to a person who wants to offer their firstborn as an exchange for forgiveness. Micah begins with that most basic offering, moves to the biggest offering one personally could give, and that is their firstborn. Finally, Micah wants to address the assumption that relationship with God is a barter and exchange program. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. God is not in the business of taking bribes or being a heavenly broker of salvation. So Micah, we ask, what does God want? And we all ask that question. Maybe some of you ask that every day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What would you have me to do? What is a proper step and what is an improper step? If you're at that point of asking that question, you're at the point where Micah wants you to be. So Micah, if it's not about my personal quest to find God, if it's not bigger is better, and if it's not an exchange of good gifts for cleansed conscience, if I can't work for it, if I can't strive for it, then what is it that I need to do? Jesus begins answering these questions in the New Testament in a more direct and full way. But before we get there, I want to give this, just talk about this story I heard just the other day about Chinese bamboo trees. I think I saw this on Facebook, and it was somebody explaining what a Chinese bamboo tree is like. The farmer first finds the perfect soil to within which to plant the bamboo shoot, and there he or she will plant that bamboo shoot in the ground. He waters and keeps the ground around the shoot clear from any other plants that might try to grow up around it and disturb that plant. Yet after 1 year, nothing will come up out of the ground. The farmer will continue to keep the ground and plant the and water the ground around the shoot for another year. Still, at the end of 2 years, nothing will come up. The farmer waters and keeps the ground for a third year. And yet at the end of 3 years, the shoot remains in the ground. He waters a fourth year. Still, nothing to show above the soil. Imagine if you were this farmer at this point. You're still wondering, is this working? Every day you have tended to that shoot. Every day you have watered. Every day you have made sure that none other weeds or anything else could come around that shoot to destroy what is going on underneath the soil, if there is anything going on under the soil. 5 years, the farmer waters and keeps the ground. And at the end of 5 years, a single point pokes out of the ground. And in 5 weeks, that plant, that bamboo shoot, will grow 90 feet in the air. 90 feet in the air. And the trunks of these bamboo are hard as a rock. They're used for houses and scaffolds and all sorts of structural things. They even make bikes out of bamboo now. It's amazing. But to grow this great tree, there is no quick way. There's no easy way. You've got to get into the soil. You've got to tend that soil. You've got to water it and grow it. Even though there's nothing on the surface to show, after 5 years there might be some result of your efforts. And in the case of the Chinese bamboo tree, explosive growth suddenly emerges. Micah has said, he has told you, O mortal, what to do, what is good, and what the Lord has required of you. Micah says, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. These three things are like watering a patch of soil. These three things make you get down and walk humbly and to go the distance. Micah is saying, go. Go back. Make up for the wrongs you've done. Pay back those you have stolen or swindled from. Go back and be forgiven for the joy that you've stolen from others. Micah is saying, love mercy. Show mercy instead of bitterness. Show mercy instead of demanding repayment. Show mercy to that neighbor, that family member, that coworker, that friend, and love them. And love the process of showing mercy, in fact. And love it and watch mercy have its full effect. It might not happen right away, but it will happen. You probably heard a similar thing spoken and uttered by Jesus. In Matthew 5, it says, you've heard it said that it was of those ancient times, and this is Jesus talking about justice, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of judgment, fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, again, think of Micah telling the people, Is there any limit to what you could offer God, right? When you are offering your gift at the altar, verse 23 says, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him. So Jesus is teaching here the same thing Micah is teaching. Worship to God is even secondary to human reconciliation and justice. Yes, worship is important. God, we love God first with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. But God has been around for eternity. God is waiting for you and me to go reconcile with our brother and with our sister. God can wait while you go over to so-and-so's house and make peace with them. Jesus is quoting the law, an eye for an eye, but Jesus has a new ethic and a new way of thinking about justice that has everything to do with our hearts and everything to do with love. Justice is what love looks like in public. Make amends before you get to the judge, because the judge will exact every penny from you. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. We need to stop thinking that we're always right about everything. We need to walk with humility. And the paradox of Jesus is that revelation in Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, he was concealed in flesh. Søren Kierkegaard calls it divine concealment. And in that divine concealment, Jesus came in human flesh. Divine incognito. Jesus entered our world. He took on our injustice. Jesus was humiliated, scorned, mocked, not just because he was a prophet, because we did not know that he was the Son of God, says the book of Acts. God in the flesh, the very justice we have all longed for, appeared to us incognito. We did not know that he was the Son of God. And the only way for God to reveal himself was to conceal himself in the flesh for our sake. Fully divine and fully human, he was not a Superman or the Justice League. He was better. He was the Word incarnate, the very beginning, from the very beginning. And in that concealment and all that fleshly veil, Jesus entered into our pain and injustice. He walked humbly to show us the character of God. Love. Love is the answer to justice's demand. Love. Not more laws. Love. Not more prisons. Love. Not more executions. Love. Not more wars. As God's people, love is the impetus, the background, the power behind doing justice. It is how Jesus did justice. The only way to do justice, as Micah suggests and Christ fulfills, is to hide ourselves like Christ into the injustice. The only way to love mercy is to hide ourselves in the unforgiving nature of this world. The only way to walk humbly is to walk alongside others in that darkness, just as Christ did. There's a great temptation today that when we see injustice, to simply become angry. And I've had plenty of days where I just feel angry. I feel depressed. I feel sad about things that are happening in our world. But that's not what Micah is saying we should do. Micah lived in a horrible time, a terrible time, a difficult time. Micah was angry, but Micah didn't command us, people of God, to be angry. So instead, we should use that anger. We should act. We should love mercy. We should walk in the humble footsteps of Christ, who entered our darkness and led us back to the light. We can't stay angry if there are children out there in need of mentors. We can't stay passive if there are people on the street who are thirsty. We can't stay in our homes if there are elders in our community who need to be loved and visited. We can't keep to ourselves if community meetings are there for us to attend, where important decisions are made about how to proceed as neighbors and as people who live in a community. And we can't stay still against the evils of racism. There are tensions and race relations that need to be fostered. We have to get out. We have to act. We have to do justly. We have to love mercy and walk with humility, entering in to that suffering, entering into that darkness. God's people are called alongside the poor. God's people are called alongside those who are hurting, those who are suffering, to walk humbly, to love mercy. When you love mercy, it becomes just how you operate and how you do what you do. God's people are called to enter in by pursuing others with kindness and with reckless love. Micah was a prophet. He walked something like this street, shouting. He didn't have any shoes on. He didn't have any clothes on. He screamed at the top of his lungs. He was one person. He was one person. Look around you. Look how many people. Look at the spectacle that we can become if we share Micah's message, if we share the message of Christ. Look at the bright light that we can be to this world and to this neighborhood as we come together, the church. Micah was one individual, but we are the body of Christ. I'm excited over the next weeks to have people from Elam and Friends of Elam come up and share about the work that they're doing. This isn't to say that nobody else is doing this work, or that some of you are doing other kinds of work. This is to celebrate and to recognize the command that God has given us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. We do that together as a church. Amen? We do that as the light of the world, as God's called and chosen people. You are that people. We are that people together. Micah is not alone. We needn't act like Micah. We just need to be the body of Christ. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. We're going to sing this song now that comes from the words of Micah 6, 8. And this was a collaboration between a lot of different artists down in Nashville. And I remember when this came out, they made a movie about this, and some of them had committed to doing something about human trafficking. And so the song was written in coordination and conjunction with a nonprofit group that was doing that work. And it's a powerful testimony to what I just said, that we are the body of Christ, that we each are prophetic in that way. We each can be a Micah to our neighbor, to our friends at work, to our coworkers at work, to our friends, to our family. You are that light. You are those people that God has called to be and to do justice.